For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Play action, Purdy, use check, the catch, first and goal.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
What a good day. What a night. I hope everybody just soaked that all in. You know what I mean? It just felt like a big, live, real-life eraser. That's what it felt like to me last night. You just took all of that. You took Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey. And I'm not going to say the Super Bowl loss. Like that certainly did not make that go away. But whatever strife or stress or anxiety came from the months of like April, May, June, July, and August.
Yep, mostly gone.
That just erased it last night.
Doesn't mean you're not going to have hard time and hardships and have losses, but all of the things that we carried with us through the summer, Brandon Ayuk, is the holdout or the hold-in going to be an issue? It's going to be a distraction. Well, yeah, it was an issue. He couldn't catch the football, and it wasn't really a distraction, but you scored 32 points and you won. And Trent Williams, well, he doesn't have camp. Maybe he'll come in out of shape. Well, he needed an IV and missed two plays and was dominant. And, oh, Brock Purdy's going to need to elevate his game. Well, so far, so good. He looked pretty efficient, no turnovers. And Debo running the ball. You didn't have McCaffrey. Your defense still looks like one of the two or three best in football. And your coach didn't get any dumber in the offseason. He only got smarter, so what do you have to worry about after 60 minutes of football?
Yeah, no, not much. And I wonder if this team ends up having a chance to be, you know, like when you go back, and for those of you who aren't old enough for this, Grandy, Lucas, you guys are in this group. If you're not old enough to know about the 49ers of the 80s and the early 90s, the fans knew the names of all the offensive linemen. You knew them all.
Yeah, we saw one of them at the Red and Gold Summit.
Guy McIntyre.
Yeah.
You know, the likes of Randy Cross. Like, these guys.
Jesse Sapolo
is another great. These guys were household names. It was not just Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and all of that. Like, obviously, Montana Young. Like, you knew the offensive linemen. You knew every single player on the team. You didn't just know Ronnie Lott. You knew the other safety, too. You know, Carlton Williamson or whatever. Like, you knew everybody on that field. And I do think that's like, to go back to the conversation we had yesterday about whether or not it matters to you, not just to win a Super Bowl for you, but this particular crop of 49ers. I think this group is talented enough to be like that. And that's where my urgency comes from. It's not for me as a fan, like, gotta win a ring. It's for, like, how much longer are all of these particular guys going to be together? Because they feel like they're on the verge always of being iconic, but you're not allowed in the sports world to use that word if you don't win a championship.
Well, not in this franchise.
Of course.
The Lions players can, you know, if they don't do anything else, they can be a little bit closer to that status because they actually won a playoff game.
But they're like a memorable 1 year.
Yes, right, but for now. Detroit, you've been so thirsty for anything that right now that's kind of the high water mark.
Sure.
Outside of the, you know, when you had Megatron and you had Barry Sanders and, you know, you had those teams, but those teams didn't win. So if you're a 49er, you've got to have that Lombardi to really be, you know, given that idol treatment. And these guys are all on the precipice. The guys who've been here forever, and it's George, and it's Debo, and even Brandon, mm-hmm. and now young Brock, Christian to a different degree. It feels like he's always been here, maybe because his dad and the fact that he went to Stanford. He feels like he's always been a Niner.
It just fits. It just fits. Totally. Yeah, you're absolutely
and
right.
And Trent to a similar degree, but you know he had a long career elsewhere. So these guys will all be minted as all-time legends if they can just get the one.
Well, just listen to the way you just laid that out. You want to know what I noticed when you just laid that all out? It's not that, I mean, everything you said was true.
And I forgot Fred and Nick, and you know.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
You notice how you roll through the whole roster and you just use first names.
Totally.
And everybody knows exactly who you're talking about. Try that with the San Francisco Giants roster. Yeah. So, like, and
there's
you can.
Marco, and then there's that one guy.
But you could do it with the 2010 Giants roster. It was Timmy, and it was Buster.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it was Maddie, Mad Bum. And whatever, like you could just, that's because it felt iconic because they won championships. And that's how the 80s and 90s 49ers were.
Ronnie and Joe and Dwight. Right.
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. No, totally. Wait a minute. Sorry, that's a different group. But you know what I mean? Like you could do that. And I feel like we're just sitting here on the doorstep of being able to do that with these guys. You know, that's how my kids were last night. They went in early and they're like, Dad, we took pictures. We saw Fred. And I saw George, and I got to see Claire give George the shove, like we learned it. Like they saw all of it, and they can just sit there and use first names, and in some cases of the players' wives, and we all know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
But they don't have that thing that cements iconic status. And I don't like the word deserve in sports. I don't like using that. Because these guys all play hard and work hard and put in all the work. So there's no, like, one team deserves it more than the other. You have to go do it. But I really do think that this fit. My gosh, I want that for these guys. Because they're good enough for it.
For sure. And they've been good enough for this franchise. And it's been a great run of homegrown talent. And you've been so close. But I'm glad you took the D word and threw it in the garbage because there is no such thing as dessert.
No, I mean
the right. Patriots went 16-0 in the regular season and they didn't win the Super Bowl. They got beaten by Tyree in the helmet. And so did they deserve to win the Super Bowl? No, they were the best team and they probably beat the Giants 9 times out of 10, but not that Sunday.
No, the other team works hard too.
Exactly.
They work out. They have a weight room. You know what I mean? They had dreams. They woke up early. They worked their butt off. They kept their head straight when they got a lot of money, despite all the distractions. Like, every single team has that. The New York Jets have that, too. Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old and worked his way back from an Achilles injury. I know a lot of people are triggered by Aaron Rodgers, but, like, that's impressive to me. Okay, these like Robert Saleh runs the stairs. Good Lord. Like, that's it. Like, I like Robert Saleh.
He's pretty fit.
Yeah. So everybody deserves, you know what I mean? Like, they deserve to go out there and get what they get. I phrase it a different way. I think this team is good enough. They're good enough for icon status. They just haven't cemented the damn thing yet.
That's right. And they've had their chances, and it doesn't mean that the window is going to close if they don't do it this year. But you look at last night, having been there in the press box, you were out there with the crowd getting a little bit more of the feels from the people. But just up in the press box, there was a certain amount of expectation. You know, the Jets scored, and they're up 7-3. And, you know, even in the press box, there was no like, uh-oh.
No, I never felt. Did you feel an uh-oh?
I felt no uh-oh.
Yeah,
that's my point.
I'm like 7-3.
The Niners answer with 3, and even at that point, it's like, okay, touchdowns are better than field goals, but we got a ball game. And then from then on, they just turned off the faucet, and it became a comfortable watch.
I always look at a great defense, not necessarily as the group that can come out and turn the faucet off right away. I look at a great defense as, okay, let's see what you're doing. I'm going to assess what you're doing. You may go get one on me early, but the second you do it, I'm going to move this chess piece over here. And now let's see what you can do. And the Jets never moved the ball again.
Right.
Until garbage time. Until garbage time and obviously one broken play. But they never went on anything sustained after that the rest of the way. You know, that's what defined, Lucas will love this, Pete Carroll's era at USC. This is what they did every week. they would let you, not let you on purpose, but like they often would get punched in the mouth in the first quarter. And in fact, they would often go into the halftime break either tied, sometimes down by seven. And it was unbelievable what would happen in the second half. It was as if they went in at halftime and all, like, I don't know, drank some juice, made some acquisitions, and came out and were absolutely unstoppable.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop them when their offense was on the field and the defense wouldn't give you a yard. And these halftime adjustments, I don't even know if that's a thing. You know, Peyton Manning came out last year and he's like, we're going to the bathroom at halftime. We're not making adjustments. But like,
maybe a couple of things you see on film and get back out there.
Totally, totally. Will in the East Bay, we'd love your calls. We did Grandy's grades. What are your grades? What did you see? What did we learn? 888-957-9570. Will in the East Bay, what's going on?
Well, good afternoon, Willard and Dibs. Always love talking to you guys. It's been a little while.
Thank you, sir.
It's been too long, honestly. I was just telling Mark that.
Thank you. Let me say this about grades. Brought back a flashback from middle school when that teacher would bring that paper and walk down the aisle and drop that paper in front of you, and it would have a big A or a B on it, and she'd give you that sunny smile. But if you didn't do your homework, and she brought that paper back down to you and it said C or D, she'd give you that scolding look on your face and make you feel... My point being, I love listening to you guys give your grades. You know, it's a lot of fun. And I'm not going to give a grade, but I do have a take on that game last night. And it was a very solid game, very solidly played on both ends of the line. But I think at the end of the night, if Shanahan was in that locker room alone after the smoke cleared and he sat down and he got a big smile on his face, we're talking an offensive guru here. He was happy about that defense. We've talked a lot. I've heard you guys talk a lot about the offense. That defense allowed less minutes to Aaron Rodgers, in his whole career, okay? And you could see the frustration on that man's face, you know, on the bench when his offense was off the field. He knew it. And anyway, that was my take on that game. I give them a solid A. A plus means no mistakes, no errors, nothing. But the way that defense played lights out and kept the future Hall of Famer, one of the best passers in the game we've ever seen off the field, to me, was a real shining moment for Shanahan.
Well, Will, yeah, I think
thank
it's,
you, Will. Good
thanks,
call.
Will. I think it's a great point. This the whole thing, as far as the straw that stirs the drink, is the defense. And we could talk about it on a number of different levels. And I'll hear you guys. You're not wrong with regard to what's happening around Brock Purdy. I think it was a very significant night that he could go out there and move the ball the way he did with Christian McCaffrey not on the field. But it is true that if you have a defense that is going to continually keep the other team at bay so that you don't have to go out there and score 32, it's great that they did. But obviously they would have won that game with significantly less. They could have had two or three field goals less. They still would have won that football game. And if the defense is doing that continually, if the run game is doing that, if your offensive line is going to give you time, then yeah, like that, that's putting you in your best position to succeed. And for me, that is the most exciting part about last night. You can pick any group or any player as far as like what got you out of your seat. The most exciting thing for me, no one was bad. Grandy just gave his grades and nobody got worse than a B.
Yep.
Nobody. And if you're that complete, if you can be good in the secondary, you can be good on the front seven, you can be good on the O-line, skill positions, quarterback, special teams, coaching. If you're good on all those places, you're just not going to lose that many football games.
Unless you start turning it over at a crazy number, and you didn't turn it over at all. And you look at the numbers, and Will just called talking about time of possession. Aaron Rodgers ran 38 plays on the night. 38 plays.
Yeah.
One of those was a 12-play drive. Outside of that, he had 26 total plays, 4 3-and-outs. So even when he got his chance to get back out on the field, he had no chance. The Niners immediately got Aaron Rodgers back to the sideline, and the poor Jets defense was out there most of the night. 5 minute 49, 5:14, 7 minute 18 second drive for the Niners coming out of the locker room. Welcome back to the field, Jets. How about 7.5 minutes and we will just march down on you and put the game away with a touchdown?
Yeah, no, it was
just a clinical performance in time of possession.
And you're talking about Aaron's plays, right? Aaron Rodgers'
correct.
Plays.
38 plays is all he ran.
And then Terod comes in and has another group. But even still, even with that, I'm looking at, and back me up on this, the Jets as a whole ran 48 plays, and the 49ers ran 67. Is that right?
Yeah, they got 72 for the Niners.
Okay.
And then 51 total for the Jets.
Okay. I mean, I'm just adding up passing attempts and rushing attempts. I guess that leaves out sacks and different things like that. So anyway, it's approximately 20 some odd more plays for the 49ers. You're hosed if that as an opponent, if that's the situation.
38 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah. And you know, what are yards per carry here for the 49ers as a team? This ended up well over 4.
Yeah, about 4.5.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be, I mean, that's just a hell of a, that's a game plan. That's a hell of a scenario.
Right. So Kyle has the ball for 38 minutes and 40 seconds. Check the box. They dominated time of possession. He rushes it for more than 30 times. And we know that when he rushes it 30 or more times, he wins. He wins about 90% of those games. Check box number 2. And the turnover battle. Well, you didn't turn it over. Check box number 3. If you check those 3 boxes, turnover battle, time of possession, and 30 or more runs, Kyle's unbeatable.
20-0.
Right.
If they do that 20 times, they will be 20-0.
Right.
And they will win the Super Bowl.
And so it doesn't matter if he was just fine going 20 for 29, and he was probably better than fine. You win. I capitulate. But he doesn't have to go 34 for 44 and throw for 380.
Update. I will predict that they don't go
20-0. Okay. I already have them at 11-5-1, which still bugs you. It's the Arizona
happening.
Game. The second Arizona. It's a draw. Sometimes you got to predict a tie.
I'll bet you my entire bank account that they do not tie that game.
Okay. We'll get to it.
What do you give me if I'm right?
Well, we already talked about the odds.
Yeah.
You're 4-1.
I offered you 4-1. It was an opening offer.
40-1.
It's just like I got a new car last week. Like, you just put your first offer out there and then see what happens.
I like it.
Yeah. Just let them know, like, okay, make me an offer. And then you go, no, we're not doing that. And they'll chase you.
Yeah, they will.
Just trying to get you to chase me a little bit.
They will get there. And that's the last game of the year. So, you know, when we get to that game, we'll see who's actually playing.
I'm going to make him an offer again.
Thank you. One just real quick interesting note. Jake Moody, 6 field goals.
Yes.
I joked that he was on pace for 102, which would be a record. The record held by David Akers, 2011, Niners. In that year where everybody's saying, oh, touchdowns are better than field goals. Well, the Niners that year, Harbaugh's first year, they went 13-3. By way of the most prolific field goal season in NFL history. So, and I won't skip ahead and tell you what happened in the playoffs because it wasn't good. Kyle Williams, RIP, rest in punts.
Yeah.
And yeah, but you were 13-3 by way of the field goal.
Listen,
David Akers kicked 44, which is still a record.
I know.
Field goals are okay, is my message.
Field goals are not a bad thing.
It's okay.
I think you get 3 points for those. Points are good. You know how many field goals the Jets had last night?
I would guess 0.
0.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Grandy, you leave the field goal alone. You leave the field goal alone. And I'm not going to, like,
no,
I'm,
thanks.
No, I'm not going to admit this because I didn't know it at the time. I was clapping for the decision in the moment. As it turned out, yes, in another league, I was down by 18 points. The other guy had Aaron Rodgers, and I had Jake Moody. I won by 0.6.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, I might be biased, but I didn't know that in the moment. In the moment, I was like, I'm not winning this.
Do you have to be a homer?
Well, if it's going to win me my fantasy game, yes. By the way, I've decided that Brian Baumgartner, that voice that in that drop. Who,
do you have to be a homer?
That's Kevin from The Office. I've decided that person, can you pull any sound from our guy, Dollar Bill, who's in Maui. Pull his voice, put it next to Kevin from The Office. You tell me if you can tell the difference. I think that might be Kevin from The Office.
Dollar Bill.
In Maui.
That's crazy.
Who the hell else can afford Maui on a Tuesday?
I was thinking the same thing.
I would think Syndication Sensation might do that for you.
Yeah, it would.
Right? I mean,
that thing's on all the time. It's on right now. Somewhere he's giving you that hangdog look and like the woe is me demeanor of Kevin from The Office.
Such a good show.
And then cha-ching, right?
Dude, how
good.
Well,
I have to call and defend my integrity. Do you have to be a homer?
Tell me that's not the same person.
Well, that was crazy.
Tell me it's not the same person. Play it again, Grandy. That's two different people.
Well, I have to call and defend my integrity. Do you have to be a homer?
You tell me. Good. That's the same guy.
Dollar Kev, we'll call him. Dollar Kev, Dollar Bri.
Yeah, I would call him a lot of dollar bills.
Yeah.
Is what I'd call him. All right, let's
John go. Sally.
No, John in Napa. John in Napa. Hi, John. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm still floored from last night. Like, if you, any way you look at it and how you drew it up, this is what I would want. You know, the Jets are a good team. They're not a bad team, and the pieces are there. But the Niners are just flat out better. I was impressed with the offensive line. With all the noise the media made about the offensive line concerns, Trent Williams aside, it made it sound like we were really doomed. And now I think I don't know anything about offensive line, apparently. Because, I mean, what I saw last night was a dominant performance that just wore everyone down. The time of possession was video game numbers, which was really fun to see. And then watching Fred Warner. I mean, just how awesome is that we get a chance to watch him every Sunday. I had a friend of mine when we went to our third World Series with the Giants, right, back in the 2010s, and he's like, we're spoiled, and it's hard to know you're spoiled in the moment. And so I am just living in that moment, and what an awesome game. I just top to bottom really enjoyed it. Wish Ayuk made that catch, but I get it. We'll get it next time.
John, love it, man. Really good call, and I love as much Fred Warner love as we can put out there today. I think this is becoming a thing. Aaron Rodgers against Fred Warner. You know, you brought up the Aaron Rodgers versus the 49ers thing.
Yep.
And there's the Harbaugh era, the Shanahan era, the home, the road, the playoff, the regular season. You're going to get some different data. But I brought up on the crossover that it was, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when Aaron Rodgers was caught on mic after the game, handshake with Fred Warner, telling him, I know the whole world doesn't know, but we in the league, we know you're the best linebacker in the game. Now I think more people acknowledge that Fred Warner is LB1 in the league, and it's becoming a thing. Aaron Rodgers against Fred Warner goes really well for the 49ers.
Fred Warner against fill in the blank, I think, goes really well for the 49ers.
That's a good point.
And I'm just looking at the Niners with their week two notes already out as we're getting ready for Minnesota, and they point out that since 2023, Fred Warner has 5 forced fumbles, second in the National Football League among linebackers, behind only Bradley Chubb, tied with Khalil Mack. So Fred Warner just adding another piece to the repertoire. He's tough in pass coverage. He'll pick you off. He can blitz and get you and get a sack. And we know he's a tackling machine, but he's added the peanut punch to the repertoire.
You saying what's coming this week, and I don't want to move on. We're not going to spend any time today moving on to next week.
But they sent out the prospector, which is the pre-week notes.
I know, and it just flashed how many different things in terms of the visuals of this week. You know, you've got Justin Jefferson, who set that wide receiver market. You've got last year's backup quarterback, Sam Darnold, who's now starting. You've got Aaron Jones as the running back, who had such a good game against the 49ers in the playoffs last year as a member of the Packers. There's a bunch of different things that come together, in addition to the fact that this will be Minnesota's home opener and can be a difficult place to play. That is a fan base that will be absolutely on its ear. This is an interesting game. And I expect a little bit more of a struggle than what the Niners encountered last night. But we got all week to talk about that.
Yeah, No doubt.
Some interesting people, though, in this game.
For sure. And I'd love the Sam Darnold part of it because I was high on Sam last year, and I'm really happy he got his chance to go out there and start-ish. And I know it took an injury for him to get the gig, maybe, but you know he's going to be motivated. But for now, it's Victory Tuesday, and you look at last night, and it's really difficult to think about this as anything other than just a pure work of art. Picasso, Monet, Rembrandt, whatever painter you want to pick, this thing was beautiful, and it was nearly flawless. And even the flaws that you had, it was kind of the flaw that you thought would happen with Brandon Ayuk and a couple of drops, a guy who you thought maybe would be a little rusty, and he was, and you were able to survive it easily.
You know what I thought? Now, the more we talk about this, you know what last night was? It was needed.
Yeah.
It was really needed.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah. Yeah. I really just think the fan base needed something to calm down. Like, last night was a big old hit of you-know-what, man. It was.
Yeah. Cue up the sound effect, Randy.
I'm not going to name names. There were people I don't know, and there were people I know that I ran into last night, and I'm like, oh, you're having some extra fun.
Yeah. How high are you right
you
now?
I'm
high,
bro. You didn't just get tickets to this game, did you? You got something else. A little something else to this game, too.
Well, it was Monday Night Football. The opener. Yeah. Oh, you know, it's...
Not going to name names.
No. How could you?
Because it's just so...
Who are you?
It was so fun. It was just so fun and funny to watch. Jonathan in San Leandro. Hi, Jonathan. What's good? What you doing?
Hey, I just got through 880 traffic. Not too bad for a Tuesday, though. I thought I was going to be calling you guys mid-traffic, but I got through it. I'm in San Leandro now, so we're A-okay.
Sweet, Jonathan.
Okay, so a couple of things. I wanted to know, since you guys are grading, what would you think that the Mannings would grade Brandon Ayuk last night? Because, boy, were they vocal about his drop pass. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, that he's got to get, you know, into the shape of things, but doesn't that prove the point of what everyone was saying? You know, you miss camp, opportunities like that. And for me, it seemed a little lackluster. You know, I love the field goal, especially for my guy, because, you know, what was the biggest thing for him? Missing field goals. Now the guy can't miss one. And I love it. However, I give him a B. The defense was great. I give the defense an A, but overall with the offense, I give it a B. We need more touchdowns. I know he dropped that one. If he didn't, maybe we'd be looking at an A. I don't know. I just, it's something scare me with CMC being gone, and we can't win all these games like we did last night. And that's the Jets. They're also getting their stuff together. So, again, I'm scared for Minnesota a little bit offensive-wise. Hopefully CMC's back, and we got, you know, back to our roots. But I just wanted to see what you guys thought. I love listening to you guys and appreciate you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it. I mean, look, Minnesota was a house of horrors for the Niners last year. In many ways, you know, I know what happened in Cleveland, but I still look at Jake Moody and go, dude, if you just kicked the ball straight, everyone would have forgotten that game completely.
Yep.
It was Minnesota where I felt like something's wrong inside the 49ers. Something's wrong here because Kirk Cousins wouldn't even throw an incomplete pass. And then on Tuesday following the game, Kyle Shanahan threw Steve Wilkes under the bus in front of a microphone. And that's what made me as a fan go, okay, what does that mean? If that's what's public, what's private? Like, there's something where you're all not on the same page. And I'm not going to say that's why they lost the Super Bowl or anything like that, but you got to the playoffs, and the 49ers, through those three games, at many times were not their best selves,
yep.
And it took them 7 seconds after it was over to fire Steve Wilkes. So I still believe that whatever the reason or why or how, it doesn't matter, it was not all copacetic with that group last year, and it was in Minnesota that we found that out. Very different team this time around on both sides, but I do think there are some demons that need to be exercised.
Cousins went 35 for 45.
Dude, it was
378.
Brutal.
Two tutties, one pick, and a rating of 107.2. 35 for 45, and it felt like he was better than that.
And don't correct me if I'm wrong, Jefferson did not play.
Oh, no. No, he didn't play.
Justin Jefferson did not play. He was doing this with the likes of Jordan Addison.
Addison had two touchdowns in the game. And that was it, including a 60-yarder. And was that the one on the zero blitz?
That was the one.
Blitz,
that
right?
was the zero blitz.
Yeah.
Well, that should have been picked off.
Steve knows he can't do that and stuff. And I'm really mad. And he's going to get fired in about 8 weeks and stuff. And I'm going
to
wait.
He can honestly say he's ready to get fired.
I can honestly say I freshened my resume. But did that
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I love that cut.
Did he get hired or is he chilling this year?
I think he's chilling.
I think he's chilling too.
Yeah, last I checked, but.
Yeah, I'll look.
Yeah, that was a tough spot, certainly, in the year. And I don't know if Sam Darnold's going to go 35 for 45 against you. But, you know, none of these teams can be taken lightly. And we've got all week to get ready for Minnesota.
Steve Wilks is chilling. Is chilling this year. No job.
I can honestly say I'm sort of chilling.
That's right. I can honestly say I've made plenty of money. And I'm fine. 888-957-9570 is the number. How about Shaka in Berkeley? Shaka, what's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing today, man?
So good. It's a good day.
Hey, Minnesota Sunday, man. It's going to be a great game, man. Our defense. I look at Flores, the defensive coordinator, against Shanahan. That's the chess match in the game, man. It's going to be a physical game. It's going to be a real physical game. I just want you to look forward to that, man. Nothing else. No, that it's going to be physical.
Well, Shaka, I was like, can you expand on it? Because, and I don't mean to like call you out. I always think it's funny when people go, this football game is going to be physical. I'm waiting to see the first one that doesn't look like that. I know what you might mean, hard hat game, whatever. But like, what exactly are you getting at? Why is this particular one going to be more physical than a game like last night, which was supposed to match two of the top five defenses in the league?
Well, we really have a top five defense. We got a lot of players. We got Cashman from Houston, Ken, the rushing guy, Kennard. We also got him. We've got Gilmore, a top defensive back now. You know, he plays for us now. Whit Murphy, who retired, he's getting millions himself. Plus, we got some guys, man, that are really shining, man, on defense. We got the Harrison Smith, the Hall of Famer, and the guy with the Cal, Bynum. So we got who got two picks last year against your quarterback. So I've been saying that they're a real physical team. Flores' second year, you know, he was the Miami Dolphins coach, and him and the owner got into something. He sued the league. So that's why we think he didn't get a job. But as far as him being able to be there for 2 years in a row, I just look forward to the chess match, man, because we got a strong D and we got a lot of receivers, and we got Aaron Jones who ran for like $1.20 against y'all last year in the playoffs.
No doubt. Look, I'm
Shaka,
not gonna.
I didn't know you were a Vikings fan like that. This is good to know.
Look at that. I mean, he's naming off. He's naming off the whole roster.
Got that too deep on lock.
Yep, Shaka. Thank you very much. No, listen, and we've said now a couple times. Got all week to talk about the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
I'm not gonna like dismiss them as a threat just because Sam Darnold is their quarterback and it's not supposed to be a great year for them. I don't know if I would call them a top five defense. We'll see. Like, it's too early to.
Well, they shut down Danny Dimes in the opener. Pretty impressive.
Which makes them a defense, not a top defense. How about Joe in San Jose? Hi, Joe. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? That was a great game last night, fellas, to watch. It's so good to have football back. So pumped for Monday Night Football again. I give that performance from our fellas an A-. I would have liked to see a little better performance in the red zone, a little bit more production, and I'd like to see McKivitz kind of clean up his game a little bit. He cost us a touchdown and had a Jordan Mason play called back for another hold. I'd like to see him clean that up a bit and not cost us points. As far as Minnesota's concerned, I think we're going to be fine. I hope that the refs address if I remember correctly, last year when we played the Vikings, their head coach, he got caught by Troy Aikman on national TV telling his player to flop on the ground and kind of fake an injury to get an injury timeout during that stuff. I really think the NFL needs to address that abuse. I think there needs to be like a stage two or an egregious delay of game penalty for that. But that was straight up flopping or the equivalent of. But I hope those kind of shenanigans don't screw us up.
Well,
but
Joe,
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, Joe, thanks. I mean, listen, I don't want to compare apples and oranges, But in sports, and especially in the NFL, it does not matter the team. I know all of us like to think that our team is built with choir boys and the rest of the teams are all cheating. These are the kinds of things that happen. Like, how do you think non-49er fans are feeling about this Christian McCaffrey situation from yesterday? Do you, I mean, if you're a Jets
fan... defending the head coach.
You know, like, but if you're a Jets fan, are you like, okay. So now you know on Friday night that Christian's not starting, and why on earth would you hold that information against the rules so that we can't game plan for this, that, or the other? Would it have made a difference? Nobody thinks that.
And I don't think that that's against the rules to say that another guy is starting. Doesn't mean that Christian McCaffrey is not allowed to play bench.
That's also true. Yeah.
So this is where, for me, it's Shakespearean, much ado about nothing, because he didn't, I don't think that he did anything underhanded. Did he have information that he probably held longer than people would have liked him to hold it? There's that, maybe. And the fantasy football part of it is real, because if you have McCaffrey and it's week one and I use my first round pick on him and now he's not going to play and I'm out of time to pick up somebody, and there's frustration there, but that's fantasy.
Well, and Kyle does not care about that. And you're right. I think that's an important distinction that people need to understand. The only way that this is a finable situation from the league to the 49ers is if they knew Christian was out, not if they knew he wasn't starting. They just listed him as questionable. He can be the backup. He could be the third stringer for all I care. He was questionable. If they knew he was going to be wearing a baseball cap on Friday and didn't tell anybody till 4 o'clock on Monday, that's where the league can be like, no, you have to, if you know he's out, you got to declare him as out. I don't even know how the hell you'd prove something like that.
Exactly. It's a calf strain, and it's Achilles tendonitis, so it's not like he tore his ACL. Jordan Love has an MCL tear in his knee, and it's 3 to 6 weeks, so he's going to be listed as out. They don't have the ability to play that game even if they wanted to. With a McCaffrey injury, a calf strain, and Achilles tendonitis, that's a game-time decision.
Who do the Packers have this week, by the way? Packers this week... hang on, let me switch to week two. The Green Bay Packers will host the Indianapolis Colts.
It's an interesting one.
And Malik Willis will start for the Packers. They just acquired 2.5 weeks ago.
And the Colts favored by 3. We talk about line moves.
Oh, that's interesting.
When the look-ahead line, I believe, was Packers -4. The look-ahead, look.
Yeah.
The line from last week before Jordan Love got hurt, so that thing moved 7 points. Yeah. Which sounds about right. Colts -3 at Lambeau.
Yeah, is it all the Love injury, or is it also that, you know, Green Bay lost the game? Like, they didn't look great. They looked okay. They scored the ball, but, I mean, they didn't look great even with Jordan Love. And Indianapolis, I know they lost, but they held up rather well. Right? They held up rather well in their opener. They gave Houston everything that they could handle in that game.
That was a fun game.
It was a fun game.
And Houston's a great watch, and I'm not just saying that because I have C.J. Stroud as my fantasy QB, but that offense is a lot of fun to watch with Stroud and all the weapons he has.
Oh, Houston, again, I go back to driving in on the Thursday opener of the Chiefs and Ravens, and Stein and Goo are talking to Steve Weiss, who I love, over at NFL Network. And they said, who's the most interesting team or intriguing team in the NFL? And I go, God, I feel like he's going to say Houston. And he goes, the Houston Texans. Like, they're loaded.
Mixon, Collins, Dell, and dude, more. Stroud. That's the Sunday night game this week.
The Mixon thing, yes, it is.
And the Bears. Bears and Texans. That's Bears. A fun one.
Well, it could also be a blowout. I mean.
Spread 7.
Is Caleb Williams ready for this? Probably not.
That's a big ask.
Probably not.
You know?
That's a survivor game.
You think?
There's two
games. If anybody's left.
Well, dude.
Who did you take?
I took Seattle.
Okay.
I took Seattle. One of the situations that we're in, let's say, had close to 800 units.
Okay.
And more than half of them.
Gone. Oh, the Bengals.
Just because of the Bengals.
Yeah. I saw a lot of that on social. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it.
You're going to get a ton of units this week on Baltimore and Houston. Those will be your two that people load up on.
I like Kansas City too at home against a
Cincinnati.
Still a Cincinnati team that is still trying to rev itself up.
Yeah, and everybody's going to want to be like, where are the Panthers? We want to just pick whoever the Panthers. Well, the Panthers are at home. I never like doing road teams when it comes to Survivor, number one. And number two, you know who's going to Carolina this week?
I see it.
Yeah. Who got it better than us? Well, I think somebody, but
not on Sunday.
You got it pretty good because you're playing the Carolina Panthers, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. I ain't touching that one.
That feels like 16-11 to me. Harbaugh is going to be so annoying this year, but they're going to be good.
They'll be good. I agree with you. They'll be good.
The way he goes about winning football games at any level, it's a little bit annoying. He wants to 3-yard in a cloud of dust to you. But it works.
Yeah. It's 1-0. 888-957-9570. If you want to get in a day after the game, Niners observation take, these next 20 minutes, these next 15 minutes will be your last shot. 888-957-9570. Then we'll get you ready for the football show, the football hour with Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, and it's Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Play action from Rodgers again. Pressure off the edge, and the pass is broken up and now picked off. Intercepted by Flanagan Fowles after the tip by Lenore.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
What was your experience like last night? Because you were up in the box.
What's in the box?
Yeah.
Me, Guru, and Bonte, along with Whitley Sandretto, social media manager,
and
Jake Hutchinson, a.k.a. Hutch.
It's a good group.
A lot taller in person than I remember him on the radio.
Yeah, well, he's all grown up now.
Well, between the four of them, I think Whitley's taller than me, too. I was the shrimpo at the table.
Well, did she have heels on?
I didn't notice. We were all locked in on the game.
Yeah.
When we were sitting down, so.
I'll tell you what, you know who went as a group last night? Bunch of San Francisco Giants.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Blake Snell in the building.
Yeah.
With his teammates. Loves that group. Clearly doesn't want to leave.
Yeah. Well, it's going to cost you probably $50 million a year to keep him.
Exactly. And I was...
Although Boris is already making deals with whoever down there at 3rd and King.
Chappie. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, apparently I was sitting about 4 feet from Kyle Harrison and didn't even know it.
Really? You were that close?
I don't know. Based on the picture that he put on social media, or the Giants did.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's where I was sitting. Where were you?
Impressive.
I didn't see him. I mean, you know, they all just look like people in jerseys. If they're not in their Giants uniforms. We promised this earlier, actually, I should say, a caller commented on it, and I want to make sure everybody heard it, because I don't want to assume that y'all heard it. And it's from the Manning cast last night. This is what it sounded like when Brandon Ayuk dropped that ball in the end zone.
Man to man, Jennings. Oh, I want to throw. Ayuk, he's a little rusty, Pate. You know, he's missed all training camp.
Get signed, get in training camp. There's a reason for training camp. You need it. We need the reps.
Oh.
Get those contracts done earlier so we can get in training camp. We don't drop balls on opening night.
Right, it's probably one thing catching passes, running routes. All of a sudden, you're laying out for a pass, full speed, diving. That's, you know, that's why, yeah, those happen in camp. You make those, you practice those. That's just a little rusty right there.
You're still catching balls at a high school field from some quarterback that's 45 years old, my age. You're not catching balls from your quarterback. Get signed, get in camp, and we don't drop the ball.
Peyton Manning after the Brandon Ayuk play. And again,
signed, get in camp, and then you don't drop the ball.
Yeah, well, not
as a quarterback.
Yeah, not necessarily.
No, but that's the message. And as a quarterback, you could feel his frustration on behalf of Brock Purdy, and he and Eli both in the moment. What great pass!
Yep. Well, it was.
It was a great pass.
Dude, I mean, it was one of those that when he let it go, he's like, who's he throwing it to? And then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
That was kind of the way, that was the progression that I went through. But
I went, ooh. And that's when I leaned over to Bonte and said, we got ourselves a segment. That's a segment. And he's, you know, all three of us, me, him, and Guru are like thinking about it in terms of today's show.
Well, what'd they say? What'd Guru and Bonte say?
Basically that, I mean, Bonte was kind of laughing. Not like, ha ha, but like that rueful laugh, like, oh man, you reap what you sow, and you don't go to camp, and this is how you come out. Ooh boy.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the Niners win, and A's across the board virtually from Grandy and Mr. Grandy and Grandy's grades. And so everybody could look at it in a more humorous way. But if you lose that game, you know, you settle for three there and you end up losing the game because of a drop like that, it's a whole different ballgame.
No. Yeah. Like, that's a fair comment right there. Like, understand that if that night didn't go so well, this would have been 4, 8, 12 hours of Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's like, that's what you risk in this situation. And for whatever, for $30 million a year, maybe Brandon and his agent don't care. But I play that. A, because it was referenced by one of our callers, but also because I do think that it'd be good for all players, not just Brandon, to know that when you kind of go through a situation the way you did, like, it's great to come to your press conference when you get back and be like, so my bad, I made it a little bit more difficult than I needed to. But when you do that, and then you start getting the news coming out yesterday that this was like high stakes and high stress, and Kyle Shanahan is running up flights of stairs.
Right.
Put the phone down. We don't want to trade him. You're about to trade the guy. Like, you're literally sending paperwork to the league to trade Brandon Ayuk to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then all of a sudden, Brandon, all that stuff, all the drama with Instagram and trade demands, all of the drama that you took the team through, and then you get to this situation, I think everybody's ready to move on. Everybody's ready to be like, look, dude, you got your Niner jersey now. The season is here. Let's go. You're here long term. Everybody's back in your corner. Dot, dot, dot. Unless you start dropping balls. And the whole point to be made here is simply for Brandon to understand the difference in the sound of a dropped ball last year versus this. Brandon dropped a ball in the exact same corner of the end zone in one of the most famous Brock Purdy non-touchdown throws in his career. When he's playing against the Seattle Seahawks, he ran around like a man possessed, kept buying time, and threw an absolute dime in the corner of the end zone to Brandon Ayuk, which was dropped. And that one was received with, oh man, that would have been a great play if he had caught it. Oh well. This one did not sound like that.
Because he doesn't have the same currency currently.
And the fan base in the stands was screaming about $30 million per year. And so it comes with the territory.
It does. And it's just week one, and you win the game, and so it goes from being a real major thing, like you were just mentioning. It's probably the whole day, not just our show, but they lose, and he has two drops, then we all go crazy. He ended up playing a little bit more than I thought he would, 60% of the snaps, 43 total. You got a good dose of Conley in there as well, and Ronnie Bell got a chance to run around a little bit, so you came with five wide receivers, and you don't yet have Ricky Pearsall out there. And I don't think that Cowing actually...
Did he run any routes? I know he was back returning punts. Other than that, did he get on the field? I did not see him.
Yeah, I'm not seeing him in the offensive snap count total. No.
Yeah.
Garendo had three snaps on offense, but that's about it.
Okay. And, Ayuk had five targets. Two catches for 28 yards. I don't know if I would call both of them. There were two that people are going to call drops. One of them, I think, you know, did a defender kind of get a fingertip in there? Maybe, maybe, but catchable ball for sure. And then obviously the one in the end zone was a drop. So, yeah, he was not a big as big of a part of the offense as he usually is. And then he was also not as effective as he usually is. There will be patience for this, provided that the 49ers continue to outscore the opponent by double digits.
And if, or just outscore the opponent. Yeah. And as soon as you lose, if he is not stellar, he's going to bear more of the brunt for the loss than he otherwise would or otherwise should. That's the nature of fan reaction, because fans, you know, you do that, you hold out, and you drag us all through the drama. You gotta file that away, and so you better come out and play great, or fans may turn on you.
The football hour is in like 5 minutes. This is Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen, and they're going to take you all the way through 6 to 7, especially because we had the game yesterday. This is normally going to be something that happens on Mondays after the Niner game on Sundays, but it's going to happen on Tuesday because the game was yesterday on Monday. What's coming up on the show there with you and Kyle, Mark?
Well, we're going to spend a lot of time, I think, reacting to something that you guys have been talking about, specifically with Doc Feely on cleared to play. It's okay. The McCaffrey tendonitis, the issue the Niners do there, a couple of other injury things to get into. We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan and everything he said on the conference call earlier today. And then react to a dominant win, the Niners over the Jets last night.
Are you going
to
be giving out your grades again?
Probably not.
Okay, probably not. Grandy's grades, which, by the way, I keep saying nothing was worse than a B. Was it nothing worse than a B plus?
Two B pluses.
No one got a B even.
No one got a B.
It's all B pluses, A minuses,
and
A's.
Purdy and the front seven got a B plus for me.
Purdy and the front seven got a B plus, and everybody else was either an A minus or above.
Would have given Devondre Campbell lower than a B. My bad.
Yeah.
Got a problem with Devondre Campbell?
One guy.
Okay. Not the quickest linebacker.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Looks more like a D end.
We'll keep our eyes on Dre Greenlaw. Hopefully he's back before Thanksgiving.
Andy Winters. Andy Winters, and get him back healthy.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, here comes Grandy and our buddy Kyle Madsen. The football show 6 to 7. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And thank you for all the interaction and the phone calls today. That was fun. Always great to get back to doing day after a Niner win shows. There's
so
nothing
good.
Yeah, nothing as fun as that. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Big time, yeah.
All right, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.